أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونتوب إليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهد الله فهو المهتد ومن يضلل فلن تجد له وليا مرشدا وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. All praise is due to Allah. We praise Him and we seek help from Him. We ask forgiveness from Him. We repent to Him. And we seek refuge in Him from our own evils and our own bad deeds. Anyone who is guided by Allah is indeed guided. And anyone who has been left astray will find no one to guide him. I bear witness that there is no God but Allah, the only one without any partner. And I bear witness that Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam is his servant and his messenger. Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu taqullaha حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون. O you who believe, fear Allah as He should be feared, and die not except as Muslims.
يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم ومن يؤت الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما.
O you who believe, be aware of Allah and speak a straightforward word. He will forgive your sins and repair your deeds. And whoever takes Allah and His Prophet as a guide has already achieved a mighty victory. My respected brothers and sisters and guests, our Holy Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam laid great emphasis on the quest for knowledge, and he urged Muslims to seek knowledge from the cradle to the grave, and to seek knowledge even unto China. There are many new faces here today, and I would therefore like to welcome all the new students and the non-students who have come to join our Jummah for the first time. You will find in the coming days and weeks, as we enjoy the blessings of Ramadan, that we have a very special community here at Royal Holloway. Our community is a wide cross-section of the Muslim world. You can just see them from the different colors and the different languages and so forth. We are like a little ummah in miniature, a worldwide Muslim community in miniature. All our families have a close and caring relationship towards each other and towards our fellow students. Someone once described our community as the Ansar, or the helpers, and the students as the Muhajirin, or those who migrated. Just like those Ansar of Medina, who helped the Muhajirin of Makkah during that momentous journey, the Hijrah, of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Remember, this was the time when the Islamic calendar was dated, the Hijrah, from the Hijrah. Now, in a way, every student is also making a kind of hijrah, a kind of migration, by traveling from their homes and their loved ones in search of knowledge. And at a much deeper level, those who go in search of knowledge are making a hijrah or migration from ignorance towards knowledge, towards understanding, and hopefully towards wisdom. This is a noble ambition that is very strongly encouraged in Islam. It was the quest for knowledge activated by the Holy Quran and the prophetic Sunnah that transformed those desert nomads in the 6th century, our noble and illustrious ancestors, into the leaders of a great civilization when most of Europe was then still gripped in superstition and darkness. Dear brothers and sisters, as you commence this great adventure of learning at university, you must always be critically aware of any cultural bias in your study material. The Eurocentric view is often found in subjects like history. In its crudest form, it portrays the entire history of mankind as simply some enlarged history of Europe with its Greek and Roman origins. Other civilizations are often considered only in the way that they impinged on the history of the West. For example, you might hear that Christopher Columbus discovered America. It's as if the Red Indians, or the First Nations as they are called, were waiting there to be discovered by the Europeans. But really the truth is that Columbus was looking for India and he lost his way. The Native Americans discovered him, they found him, and they told him where he was, and they gave him some potatoes and tobacco, and then he came back to Europe, came back home. So be careful of the sort of cultural bias that you find in subjects like history. Be aware of any subliminal messages and hidden agendas in your study material. Sometimes unproven theories are presented as hard truths, especially in the natural sciences. If you're studying the natural sciences, be mindful of the pervasive influence of Darwinism. There is today a lively debate between creationists and Darwinists. You know, scientific theories and assumptions are there to be questioned and challenged. Don't take anything at face value. Do engage with your tutors and your fellow students in a healthy intellectual debate. This is what universities are all about, discussion and debate, searching for the truth. The Islamic view is not anti-scientific. Islam encourages science and puts its work into perspective. For example, the accepted modern view of creation is that the whole universe, matter, energy, space, and time began with a big bang some 14 billion years ago. The theory is that everything began purely by chance, and it flatly denies the possibility of a creator having put things to life as part of a deliberate plan. Now, if everything began with a big bang, then we Muslims know that this bang occurred precisely between the Arabic letters Kaf and Nun, Kun, Be, Fayakun, and it is. Allah the Glorified and Exalted tells us in His Holy Quran, in the last three verses of Surah Yasin, Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. أوليس الذي خلق السماوات والأرض بقادر على أن يخلق مثلهم بلى وهو الخلاق العليم إنما أمره إذا أراد شيئا أن يقول له كن فيكون فسبحان الذي بيده ملكوت كل شيء وإليه ترجعون. Is not he who created the heavens and the earth able to create the like thereof? Yes, indeed, for He is the Creator Supreme, of knowledge and skill infinite. Truly, when He intends a thing, His command is be, and it is. So glory to Him, in whose hand is the dominion of all things, and to Him will you all be brought back. Brothers, please move forward and fill the gaps. We're a bit tight for space, and if we move forward, we can make space for the latecomers. Thank you. The verse we just heard was from Surah Yasin, and it beautifully declares the way in which Allah brings things into existence. He just says, be, and it is. Here in these beautiful and eloquent verses from the heart of the Holy Quran, we discover the simple truth about the beginning and end of everything. I promise you, if you put all the scientific theories and lay them side by side with the Quranic view of creation, you will not find a simpler and more logical and more rational explanation. The very idea that the infinite, marvelous complexity of the universe all began by chance, by a random collision of matter, is very difficult to accept. All the complex laws of physics, of motion and gravity, of chemistry and genetics, They are so finely balanced. Living cells have such an intricate design that they simply cannot have come into existence by chance. After many years of study, research and reflection, the famous British astronomer and mathematician Sir Frederick Hoyle came to this conclusion. He said that if you can believe that everything began by chance without a creator, then it's like saying a tornado can rip through a junkyard and leave a completely assembled Boeing 747 behind it as it moves away. Now, obviously, that is something impossible. And if you can believe that, you can believe anything. Dear brothers and sisters, I hope you'll enjoy your learning adventure. Remember, as Muslims and as believers, you have a great advantage over others. You have a spiritual dimension, which informs your search for knowledge and gives it a context and a meaning. Whether you're studying petroleum geology or mathematics, computer encryption or medieval history, astronomy or management, you are really exploring Allah's wonderful world in order to make a positive contribution to humankind. Remember always that with every step that you take on this exciting journey, with every new idea that swims into your mental horizon, you should say, Subhanallah, Alhamdulillah, Allahu Akbar. Glory to Allah, praise to Allah, Allah is the greatest. When your colleagues say, wow, it's only their way of saying, Allahu Akbar, Allah is great, but they don't know it yet. All beneficial knowledge comes from Allah, because we live in a purposive universe. Allah created everything for a purpose. Remember that every time you learn something new and useful, Allah has lifted another veil and uncovered another sign or ayat for you from His wonderful creation. And His creation is like an unwritten Quran that's spread out all around us, which is the world of nature. In verse 190 of Surah Al-Imran, we read this, Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Inna fi khalqis samawati wal ard wa ikhtilafil layli wan nahari laayati li ulil albab alladhina yadhkuruna Allaha qiyaman wa qu'udan wa ala junubihim wa yatafakkaruna fi khalqis samawati wal ard rabbana ma khalaqta hadha batilan subhanaka faqina adhaban nar. Behold, in the creation of the heavens and the earth, and in the alternation of night and day, there are indeed signs for men of understanding. Men who celebrate the praises of Allah, sitting, standing, and lying down on their sides, and contemplate the wonders of creation in the heavens and the earth with the thought, Our Lord, not for nothing have you created all this. Glory to you, save us from the penalty of the fire. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, wassalatu wassalamu ala khairil mursaleen, Muhammadan nabiyil ummi wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. Amma ba'd, inna allaha wa malaikatahu yusalluna ala nabi, ya ayyuhal ladhina amunu sallu alayhi wa sallimu taslima. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ala ali Muhammad, kama salaita ala Ibrahim wa ala ali Ibrahim. Allahumma barik ala Muhammad wa ala ali Muhammad, kama barakta ala Ibrahim wa ala ali Ibrahim fil alamin innaka hamidun majid. Subhanallah wa alhamdulillah wa la hawla wa la quwwata illa billahi al-'aliyyil 'azim. All glory is for Allah, all praise is for Allah. There is no power and no strength except with Allah. My dear brothers and sisters, there are two kinds of university. Royal Holloway belongs to the first kind, where you formally enroll to study and your hard work is rewarded by a degree or a doctorate. This kind of university is something you can choose to enter or not. The other kind of university is the university of life. This is where we all acquire our informal or non-formal education, which can be as important as any formal degree or doctorate. We all have to pass through this one, and we have no choice in the matter. And the main section in this university of life is the Faculty of Hard Knocks, where you can also call it the Department of Distress and Endurance. All the most distinguished human beings, the prophets, the sages, the friends of Allah, and the great leaders of history have graduated from this department. As you know, if you read through the lives of the prophets, you find that none of them had an easy life. Every prophet that Allah sent to his people endured the most unspeakable hardships. And there is always a lesson in these hardships for all of us. How well we do in this university of life depends on our preparation. Are we equipped physically, emotionally, and spiritually for the university of life? Studying Islam through the Holy Quran and the prophetic Sunnah, reading widely, and even listening to a khutbah like this one is part of our course material. The university of life is a long course. It's literally lifelong learning. These two kinds of university are not mutually exclusive. In fact, they complement and they reinforce one another. Your formal university should be an extension of your university of life and vice versa. When our Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, peace and blessings upon him, urged his followers to seek knowledge from the cradle to the grave and even unto China, he was not just talking about formal education as we know it today. In fact, there were no universities in Arabia at the time. In Islam, there is no artificial barrier between formal and informal learning, just as there is no artificial barrier between secular and sacred learning. All useful knowledge comes from Allah. If you pursue knowledge that leads to a better understanding of God's wonderful creation, and you use that knowledge for the benefit of humankind, you are given a very high status. Listen to what the Holy Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam had to say about those who seek knowledge. Acquire knowledge, for surely it leads to awareness of Allah. Seeking it is an act of worship. Studying it is praising Allah. Seeking it is jihad. Teaching it to whomever doesn't know it is an act of charity. And giving it to its people draws one closer to them. Knowledge points to what is permissible and forbidden, and it is a shining light pointing the way to paradise. It comforts the lonely, it befriends the stranger, and it talks to you in seclusion. It is a guide through prosperity and adversity. It is a weapon against enemies, and it is the best of friends. With knowledge, Allah raises people to high stations, making them leaders in goodness whose steps are followed. Their example is emulated, their opinion valued. The angels like to sit with the people of knowledge surrounding their wings. And everything dry or wet, fish of the sea and animals on land, will ask Allah to forgive them. I really like this part and I'm going to read it again. The angels like to sit with the people of knowledge surrounding their wings, and everything dry and wet, fish of the sea and animals on land, will ask Allah to forgive them. Knowledge gives life to the heart in the midst of ignorance and illuminates vision in the darkness. With knowledge, Allah's servants become the elite and reach the highest degrees in this life and in the life to come. Contemplation, tafakkur, contemplation with knowledge is equivalent to fasting. Spending time to study it is equivalent to standing the night in prayer. Duties to relatives are fulfilled by it, and through it, permissible and forbidden things are known. Knowledge precedes action, and action always follows it. The fortunate ones attain it, and the miserable ones are deprived of it. These beautiful words concerning knowledge come from the unlettered Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. May Allah's peace and blessings be on him. What a beautiful and inspiring speech. I wish I was there when he said it. My dear brothers and sisters, I sincerely hope that you will pursue your lifelong quest for knowledge in the true Islamic spirit of seeking to please Allah, glorifying His name and serving all His creatures with love and compassion. Make it your main goal to seek and find Allah's good pleasure, and consider your work, your study, your career, and even your leisure time as simply an extension, a practical way in which you have chosen to seek Allah's pleasure. Whatever you do, make sure that the material things and the creature comforts that come along through your life do not become your main concern. These things are not our Qibla and our Kaaba. They are part of our journey through life. All the gadgets and the gizmos and all the nice things of life. Do not hold these things close to your heart. Let these material things always remain the byproducts of serving Allah. It should never be your main agenda. And sadly, too many people forget the main agenda and they worship the byproducts. As I said in my last khutbah, Allah is our landlord and we are the tenants. And all He wants us to do is to thank Him. That's the rent He wants us to pay. It's a very generous landlord who only asks you to say thank you. But some people, sadly, cannot even say thank you to God. To mention a few noble and illustrious predecessors, scholars like yourselves who attained great heights in their field, Ibn Khaldun laid out the foundations of modern sociology and historiography. Ibn Sina, who wrote the Qanun fi Tibb, or Canons of Medicine, which became a standard medical textbook in Europe for over 600 years. Al-Khwarizmi, who was a genius in mathematics, and he gave the mathematicians the term algorithms, which is derived from his name, and which made computers and space travel possible. Ibn Hazm al-Andalusi, who was a brilliant jurist, mathematician, logician, linguist and scholar. He was a true Renaissance man, 300 years before the Renaissance in Europe. The list is long and it goes on and on. We don't have the time to go through it here. I cannot imagine any of these great scholars saying, well, I think I've done enough. I'll just stop here and do something else. It's hard work and it's more than my job's worth. These men worked tirelessly at what they were doing until they achieved excellence. Quality and excellence was a passion. That's what it takes to produce work of lasting value. Brothers and sisters, let us learn from our illustrious predecessors. Let us not be ashamed to do well. We should be passionate in doing the very best we can. We must try to exceed our own humble expectations, reach for the sky, and aim for the stars. Let us pray to Allah to spiritualize our quest for knowledge, so that every path we take brings us closer to Him, inshallah. Rabbana atina fid dunya hasanatan wa fil akhirati hasanatan wa qina adhaban nar. O my Lord, give us the best of this world and the best of the next world, and save us from the torment of the fire. O Allah, let us become like our beloved and noble predecessors, whom your angels surrounded with their wings, and let all creatures wet and dry on land and sea pray forgiveness for us in our quest to find your sacred knowledge. O Allah, help us to use your knowledge only for the good of all your creatures. Amin. Aqimus Salah.